Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Here we go, the think tank. A little experiment today for you all. A little philosophy, a little theology, a little science. You put it all together, hopefully you get the effect. The effect today is for you to ask yourself to see yourself from outside yourself. Now that's not something you normally do. I want you to look at yourself today as I see you, as a doctor would see you. I want you to forget about yourself. Just look at yourself from the outside. Because that's what you can't see that gets in your way. Doctors look at patients with a certain light over the years. Doctors see patients, and within a month, even less, they can determine who's going to do well in a healing, who's going to profit in a healing, who's going to accelerate in a healing, and who's going to stay stuck, who's not going to get there, who's not going to get there under the care of that particular doctor. This is how they think. They don't tell you that. They don't tell you early on that they don't feel good about the way you're looking at your healing, because you don't want to hear that. That's harsh, and political correctness dictates that you don't say things like that. But the reality, if you look back, now this is my 20th year. I graduated my chiropractic school 20 years ago, kept studying in various disciplines. If I think back over two decades and ask myself, who have I seen get to that level? That satisfying level across all those thresholds that we call necessary to create a healing. And how many people are still spinning around in circles? I saw all the signs in the first month or two. Now, whether they understand that is another situation. So today, I think it's an appropriate week to reflect on where you're at in your healing. Why do you listen to radio shows about health? What is your abiding, most fundamental, essential concern? What are you seeking? Well, you could say freedom from symptom, freedom from disease, a more radiant life, a sense that you're not getting out of your life what you came here for, and you have some sense that this kind of medicine can get you there. Whatever it is, today, over the next 50 minutes or so, I'm going to lay down a bunch of perspectives, thresholds. I want to introduce the term threshold, that healing is about a threshold, a series of events that have nothing to do, usually very little, if not nothing to do, with how most people see their healing, how you determine benefit, how you assess over a year. The return on your investment has nothing to do, not really, with the way the reality of it really sits. So the inside track of what I'm going to ask you to do today is understand health as a threshold, a series of thresholds. A series of mental shifts, a series of testimony through your physiology, that something is moving in the right direction. That the healing, first and foremost, is not a detour, but it's a journey. So here's the first threshold. Not that it will come to you at first, but that if I look at you, if anybody with a sense of how you heal looks at you, what they're looking for you to see is that your healing is not a detour. It's not something you're going to rush through. It's not something that you're going to regret. It's not something that you're going to pout about. It's not something that you're going to have a temper tantrum. It's not something that you're going to resist. It's something that you're going to integrate into a higher perspective, a broader, more comprehensive mindset. And you're going to see it as a journey. Because there's something happening that's paramount there. There's something happening that's the equivalent of that. And that's that you're beginning to get still within yourself. This is not just an empty word. Getting still within yourself. You have a symptom, you have a chronic symptom, you have a disease, you have a grievance in life, and you're looking for a way out. Well, if I'm watching you, I'm looking for you to get to a point where you start to get still within yourself. And that runs tandem, invariably, to understanding that your healing is not a detour. It's a journey. We call this the beginning of conversation with the inner voice. Now, I've laid down two shows about the pineal gland, about the hypothalamic pituitary pineal axis, that they're not just inert, purely mechanistic entities within the brain, that they represent consciousness. So in a sense, your healing accelerates when you start talking to your pinealian, your hypothalamic intelligences. Before you get there. Before you get there, there's going to be a whole bunch of thresholds. I'm going to use that word today again and again and again. There's going to be a bunch of thresholds. Little things. For instance, the cravings. I look at my clients continually. From the first minute they walk in to the day they leave, I look for the awakening of the cravings. What do you crave? What do you say in your journey, out of nowhere, all of a sudden, immersed in you, you become enamored of a food, a vegetable, a potato, rack of lamb, cherries, apricots, a certain soap opera, a certain exercise, a craving. What is a craving? And are you simply going through the motions of life mechanistically? This is what the doctor said to do, and this is what I'll do. Or are you beginning to awaken to the inner intelligence, the craving, this week, this month? Write down your cravings. Buy a diary, something you want to write in. And into that, put your cravings. What you crave today that you didn't crave yesterday. What you craved yesterday that you can't even look at today. I'm going to go on like this for 45 minutes. Cravings. What are the inner intelligences starting to tell you, because this is how you have to look at your healing. Not the symptom, not where the symptom is today, not what the x-ray said, not what the MRI said, not what the lab report said, not what the doctor said, not what your pain symptomology is saying, but your cravings, your inner voice, your perspective that your healing doesn't need to rush itself. Did that fish go to your brain? Can you feel that fish in your brain? Did you go out to a meal and spend hard-earned money on a wild fish, a salmon, a tuna, a mackerel, and put it into your mouth, did you feel it in your brain? Did you then return the dish and buy a better dish, go to a better place? Did you change the quality of the food to feel it in your brain? If you were eating fat, if you were eating lamb or duck, did you feel it in the sex organs? Did a meat that produces heat in the sex organs, meaning it stimulates production of hormone in the sex organs, ovaries or testes, did you eat a piece of lamb of high quality or duck, wild duck of high quality and feel it in your body? Did you eat a bone marrow soup and feel it in your bone marrow? Did you ingest a kidney? Years ago, people would eat the organs of their animals. They were considered more prized than the meat. That's not a practice today. The thought of eating an animal's organ is held in disdain. If you have an issue with your kidney, did you eat a kidney and feel it strengthen you? If you have a leukemia, if you have a myelofibrosis, if you have fibrotic bone marrow, if you have a problem with your thymus and you eat a thymus, if your digestion is weak and you eat a pancreas, do you feel it in your body? There's a threshold. Here's a threshold. Can you affect your moods? Your moods. You are not in a good mood. You are irritable. You are fearful. You wake up in the middle of the night afraid. In the middle of the day, you become angry. At some part of the day, you become sad. Are you beginning to take control of your moods? Can you, through the exercises of health, begin to alter your moods? Do you crave different foods? Are you starting to understand that your healing is a journey, not a detour? This is what I'm looking at. This is what any man of intelligence would be looking at as he or she gauges you in your healing. This is what I advise you to look at, not the symptom, not the cure, not the reduction of pain. Forget the pain. Easily said than done. Doesn't matter. Forget the pain. Do not judge your healing on the basis of you had pain, you have less pain. You have more, you have less. Do not look for the herb to cure the symptom. Look for fundamental shifts. If you're trying to cure your headache, but your sleep improves, celebrate the sleep, forget the headache. If you're trying to cure your headache, but your back pain is less, celebrate the back pain, not the headache. If you're trying to cure your headache, but your skin has more oil or your hair has more luster, celebrate your hair and your skin and forget the headache. Can you do that? Can you do that now? Could you do that 6 months ago? If you can do that now, but you couldn't 6 months ago, you're healing. Forget the pain. Forget the symptom. When something goes south, when you hear the proverbial bump in the night, when something goes wrong, do you get a panic attack? Does that trigger you into a kaleidoscope of negativity? Do you feel like you're falling and falling and falling because something goes askew? Some switch gets turned on. Can you shift yourself out of that? Can you exert enough expertise? Can you exert enough skill? Can you bring enough depth of perspective to the moment where you're going to panic? Because that panic will be your disease. No, that's not your disease. The tumor is your disease. The reflex is your disease. The joint pain is your disease. You see, that's the misdirection. The symptom is not the disease. The disease lives underneath. Add that to your list of thresholds. Can you calm yourself behind your pain? Can you relax yourself in a moment of discomfort, physical or psychological, when you feel like you're crawling out of your skin and you have no recourse but to scream? to run, to misdirect yourself, to numb yourself? Can you face the pain and yet relax behind it simultaneously? Have you got your fear of death by the throat? Or does it have you by the throat? Who's running who here? The day you shift into control of your worst fear is the day you begin to accelerate your healing. Have you jumped through that hoop? Doctor, doctor, I want you to look at my lab tests. I have 700 pages of lab tests. I have a lot to talk to you about. We have a lot of integration to do. We have a lot of perspectives to mesh together. And all the doctor may be thinking is, is this person beginning to relax behind his pain? Is he showing an understanding that he's on a journey, not a detour? Is he beginning to get still? Amidst everything that person handed me, or somebody, amidst everything they lay down on a desk, do they talk about a craving? Do they celebrate a new relationship with a new piece of food? Will they walk in and tell you, I've got horrid back pain, but I don't know. Something just feels more stable within me. Will they celebrate, but with specificity, the small gains? Not in the rhetoric of it, but in the instances. Will they come in and celebrate that they're balancing their blood sugar? There's a person in renal failure. There's a person with pulmonary fibrosis. There's a person with headaches. There's a person with cancer. There's a person with back pain that's been in pain for weeks. Walk in and say, my blood sugar stayed under 90 for 6 weeks, and I relaxed behind my healing. There's a threshold. Does a person go on a fast? Do they refrain from food and find that they can sustain their energy? Can they sustain their energy without food for one day? Against all the other misdirections, have they shifted their bowel flow? Are you defecating twice a day where you defecated once every 2 days? Are you doing purgatives and having 4 to 5 to 6 bowel movements a day? And even though they're runny with bile, are you understanding that that's just a purgative? Are you understanding that when you defecate relentlessly, oh, that terrible diarrhea, that your body is dumping garbage and this is a good thing? Have you found that you're sleeping an extra 2 hours a night? 2 hours. Or that your sleep is slightly deeper? Or that your sleep is less interrupted? Are you listening to the subtle improvements? Or are you focusing on the climax? Do we have a realistic view of how you heal? Or are you sticking to a fantasy? Have you drank the Kool-Aid? Has Madison Avenue convinced you that a healing is an instantaneous miracle? Or that you suffer and then, poof, out of nowhere, you resurrect? Have we given you a false sense of reality? Do you believe in a false sense of reality? And is that false sense of reality how you invest your money and your time and your energy? Is that false sense of reality how you dialogue with your doctor, with your therapist, with your healer, with your shaman, with your community? Are you in another planet? Have your emotions started to surface? In the middle of a healing, at some time or another, emotions come to the surface. Are you surprised that your emotions come to the surface? Are you surprised that you've cleaned up your diet, that you're exercising a little bit, that you're starting to feel better, and now you want to kill everyone in sight? Now that you're having outbursts of rage, and you don't even know what you're angry at. Are you understanding that that's a good thing? Doctor, doctor, I'm starting to have anxiety. I've never had anxiety. I used to have anxiety. Now I don't have anxiety. What can you give me to help my anxiety? Are you making that mistake? Aren't you saying, doctor, doctor, I have anxiety? It hurts, but it hurts good. When you do the cleanses, the liver cleanse, the gallbladder cleanse, do you see bile? Is the bile flowing? Have you made a connection between your anxiety and being able to release a poison from your physical body? If you have anxiety and you give yourself an enema, can you see the green stuff, the yellow stuff coming out copiously? And if you can't, have you made that your prerogative? Have you made that your focus? Or are you focused on your anxiety? Have you investigated hot and cold? Have you not focused on your symptom, but investigated your cure, your therapy? Have you made the mistake of asking yourself, is this therapy good for me? Should I do a hot-cold therapy? Should I do a gallbladder flush? Should I do a colon cleanse? Should I do a lymphatic therapy? Are you confused about what therapy to do? Instead of understanding that if you do any therapy, as long as you get the effect, your body's telling you to green light the therapy. Better yet, underneath every single discomfort, in the middle of any therapy, underneath every single discomfort, every single detox, every single alarming, formally alarming moment of pain, can you connect to something underneath it that tells you this is right? Can you distinguish between a mistake, something you've decided to do in a healing, some choice you're making herbally, some choice you're making therapeutically, some choice you're making socially, politically, theologically, or whatever? Can you distinguish between that choice during a healing and some choice you've made in a healing that, although it feels painful on the top, grabs you as correct on the bottom? Have you evolved over a month, 6 months, or a year, or 2 years to the point where you are surfing a wave, the wave of healing, with optimal finesse? Can you finesse a healing? Can you negotiate a healing? Are you listening to all the things you never listened to? Is your third eye beginning to open? Are your hypothalamic intelligences refining themselves? Or are you as numb and dumb and innocent and ignorant and arrogant as you walked in the day you got sick? Are you still fighting it? Are you still looking for the cure? What are you looking for? I know what I'm looking for. I offer you a chance to engage in healing. I know what I'm looking for. I shouldn't be trusted if I don't know what I'm looking for. Because I know, after 2 decades, that if you give me the signs, there's a natural law that works. And that natural law is that you will take your healing to where you're supposed to take it, to the end of pain and the beginning of bliss. If you follow natural law, meaning if you show the signs. So please don't ask me to focus on your symptoms. I'm focusing on the inner intelligence in you. That will lead you and me to your healing. Now, that's the way it works. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. 714-850-1007. If this show makes sense to you and you need help, well, then make that call. Begin an inquiry into your healing. And if you can't do that, I have a school. And I have 2 spots for tomorrow's class. We're going to get into the hypothalamus and the pineal. I'm going to lay in that class, I'm going to lay out a map of what those intelligences mean. how when you ignite them, they ignite you. How you ignite them, the central system. No, we're not going to do a class on the adrenal gland or the testes or the ovaries. We're going to do a class on the master glands, the ones that run your intuitive force. Without igniting your intuitive force in a healing, you will not heal. You do not, you will not, you cannot. So pat yourself on the back if this makes sense to you. And if you have a friend or two who might have enough depth of consciousness to understand, then share this show with them. Give them the link, straighttalk.cc. If you're driving, straighttalk.cc. When you get home, get to the archives. Different scripts, same theme. All 151 shows, just different thresholds, different exercises to get you to listen to yourself. Take that to the bank. You want dividends? You want a return on your investment? I'm giving it to you. Have you been able to type yourself? Blood type, doshic type, Chinese type, oxidative, fast oxidizer, slow oxidizer. Have you connected yourself to your tribe? Do you now look at yourself like an O-blood Viking whose genes need an outlet and an expression? Are you an African-American Maasai? Are you an African-American pygmy? Are you an Italian from the South? Are you a Greek from the islands? Are you a Teuton? Are you a Celt? Are you a Saxon? Are you a Mongol? Are you 1/16th American Indian and 15/16ths everything else? And yet that 1/16th Cherokee in your O-bloodedness appears to dominate your terrain. Are you in touch with that? Do you know who you are? Because all your symptom is, all your disease is a call from your soul to use the body to liberate that consciousness. Do you walk into my office? Do you walk into any office and say, doctor, it feels like my muscles are peeling off my bone. It feels like my tissues are less sensitive. It feels like when I dig deep into my tissues feel good. Has your breath opened? I opened my breath when I was 28 years old. That was quite a few years ago. That was a large day for me. I was in a class. I was in a yoga class. And up till that time, yoga was for sissies. I didn't like yoga. I thought it was a rather feminine thing to do. My upbringings on the East Coast didn't allow for yoga. Men don't stretch. And that's the way I saw it. And the only thing I saw when I came to Los Angeles were more fruitcakes stretching in yoga classes. Martial artists stretched. Jaguars stretched. Animals stretched. But I didn't quite have the understanding. And I remember the day in a yoga class on a Sunday afternoon, I took a deep breath. And my whole body felt something. It felt alive. And I kept breathing and I left the class and I ran around the block 5 or 6 times. And for 5 or 6 hours, I just walked around on some wonderful assortment of chemicals that my brain had secreted from the breath. If you have cancer, if you have an autoimmune disease, if you have back pain, if you have neck pain, if you have headaches, if you have ulcerative colitis, if you have any concern, don't come in and sit across my desk and think about your symptom or your pain. Don't even fill out an intake form and say, I'm concerned about my pain or my symptom. Think from this day on about how many gifts can come to you each day, each week, each month, and add them up. One of the biggest ones being your breath. Has your breath opened? Does that even make any sense? I have shows on every one of these for you. Every one. And I have put it all to science. Good science. Science that can stand up to anything, any criticism, on the terms it was designed to, on experiential terms. If you're listening with your wife or you're listening with your husband, and one of you believes, terrible word to use in a scientific term, isn't it? A belief? There's no room for belief in science, is there? Just God on Sundays. That's when it's time to believe. But in science, when you're making a choice for your health, well, belief, well, let's just not talk about that. Let's talk about Kaiser Permanente. Has your breath opened? It's a feeling inside yourself. Are your feet planting? Are your feet widened? Have your bonded, crooked, mangled, bunion-ridden, fungus-derived, twisted, old, fibrotic feet, are they beginning to plant? Are your feet that have been stuffed into high heels, bonded physically, bonded psychologically, bonded infectiously, are they beginning to pull apart? Are your toes starting to crack? When was the last time anyone asked you to listen to your feet? Doctor, doctor, I vomited and puked all week. I feel like death, but you know what? My toes are cracking. That's what I want to hear. If this makes sense to you, 714-850-1007. Sign up for the class. I have a couple of spots. If this makes sense to you. If you are of sane mind, and this show makes sense to you, and when you sign up, don't ask what it's about. Leap so the net will appear. If this show makes sense to you, that's what it's about. I'll feed this to you, and it'll grow in you. And that intelligence you can direct to your health. Do you understand the point? This is it. This is everything. There is nothing else. There's no intelligent discussion of symptom. There's no intelligent discussion of therapy. There's no intelligent discussion of your type of disease and what we're going to do and what basically we have to do for you. You want your help for $24.95? Take in these shows. Your bite. Do you clench at night? Have you shifted that? When you yawn, when you pull open your jaw, do you feel your eyeballs relax? Are you connecting to your bite like a dog? Like a cat? Dogs yawn. Cats yawn. Animals yawn. Animals open their mouths and stretch all of their enormous muscles that control their joints. The temporomandibular joint, from an alligator to a sparrow, to a pit bull, to a monkey. All God's animals have jaws. And those jaws lock. And if those jaws are not stretched, including the human jaw, the brain locks. And the hypothalamic intelligences die. They die. My beautiful mother died of TMJ. She clenched her whole life when she was 67, and she was diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, stage 4, 8 months to live, as it turned out. That was TMJ. Do you have TMJ? Are you making that connection? Do you know someone with TMJ that's not making that connection? This is not complicated. If you're listening through your intellect, it's complicated. If you're listening through your intellect, it's impossible. Most real knowledge doesn't come through the intellect. It doesn't. Turn to picture. That's right, picture number 20. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. I want two good students. Two special ones. Are you special? Do you think you're special? Does this show make sense to you? 714-850-1007. The website, straighttalk.cc. Turn to shows, get on this picture. Picture 20. Tesla. Nikola Tesla. Right. We know who he is, the car. The Tesla car. Well, this man's name would live forever. No one thought it would be because of Elon Musk's Tesla, but nonetheless, God has a sense of humor, doesn't he, Nicola? My brain is only a receiver. In the universe, there is a core from which we obtain knowledge, strength, inspiration. He had a photographic memory to a fault. He spoke 8 languages fluently. He could look at anything once and repeat it. He never wrote any of his schematics down. He could keep 300, 500, 1,000 schematics in detail in his mind at any given time. In the universe, there is a core from which we obtain knowledge, strength, and inspiration. I have not penetrated into the secrets of his core, but I know that it exists. That is a humble man. That is a guru. You see? That's a humble man. Who died with no teeth in the Waldorf Astoria in the late 40s? He engaged his own crucifixion. We crucified him. He lives on today in the name of an electric car. Half of what he discovered is still under lock and key. The other half, well, it never made it to the public. We owe him AC current. We owe him many things. I put him here on this website because I want you to note that he's talking about deriving intelligence beyond his analytic mind. That's what you're supposed to do in a healing. You're supposed to work under supervision if you need it to derive intelligence from the cosmos. From the intuitive force. Now that's from Tesla. You can't argue with him. Einstein admitted that Tesla, well, tongue in cheek, could have fit Einstein in his toe. Einstein said it. Einstein said, if you want to talk to someone who has intelligence, talk to Tesla. I'll take a bow. Don't you just love Einstein? Tesla? Newton? What do you think genius is? Do you think genius is a bunch of degrees, a bunch of certifications? Do you think your doctor's credentials actually mean anything? Do you think people that focus on those things have drank the Kool-Aid? Intelligence is intelligence. Let me ask you a question, in that it's Easter week. Does someone with a PhD in theology from Harvard know God better than you? You? You. You who drive a bus, you who sweep the street, you who may have children and not enough money to pay your rent, who wear clothes from Ross Dress for Less, you, the humble, the meek, the peasant, you who will probably die broke, you. Do you know God less because you don't have 2 PhDs from 2 universities? Do you think that? Or might you have penetrated into the core in the way Tesla was talking about? And doesn't that count for something? You think about that. Are you being guided more than ever by your intuitive more than your analytical? Have you made that shift in a healing? Have you found the appropriate use of your analytic mind and your intuitive mind? Are you balancing out your hemispheres? Women, are you becoming more masculine? Men, are you becoming more feminine? These things account for how you heal. Doctor, I'm thrilled. After a year of aches and pains, after a year of large investments of money, I'm becoming more feminine, and I rest easy behind that. The cancer's still growing in my brain, but I rest easy because I'm more feminine than I was a year ago. Let me tell you something. That means something to me. That tells me you'll heal. That tells me your parasympathetics are turning on. That tells me your macho is dying. That tells me your will is softening. That tells me you're starting to submit. That tells me you're starting to become still. Women, you're starting to talk. You're starting to talk to your men. You're starting to speak up in your relationships. You're starting to risk being defeminized, defrocked, denuded. You're starting to take that risk because you know you have to find your voice. Because if you don't find your voice, you'll die. You'll die like my mother died, stuffed. Bad way to go. Cancer will eat you. If you don't find your voice, disease will eat you if you don't find your voice. Let me ask you, can you pull open your posterior cervicals and then feel the vagus nerve deliver current to your cells? If you're listening to this show, your job is to tell one person who you think can understand what I just said in their experience. If you can understand it in your experience, and tell them to listen to this show. That's what you need to do. Can you pull open your posterior cervicals and feel the vagus nerve deliver current to your cells? Do you think this is esoteric? Do you think that's non-scientific? Do you not understand that if you can isolate your occipital bone on your first cervical vertebra and pull it yourself after opening your jaw sufficiently and getting a pulse, a physical pulse of warmth down into your feet, you have mastered in isolation? That's what I'm listening to. Can you do that when you walk in? Can you do it a month later? Can you do it 2 months later? Can you do it 6 months later? Might it take you a year? Might it take you an entire lifetime? That's what I'm looking at. Does this make sense to you? Can you feel your stretch when you stretch? When you stretch, can you feel your bones? When someone presses into your arm, does your bone bend and do you feel warm in your bone? Are you starting to pulse current through the marrow of your bone? Chi, prana, the body electric? Okay, here's an exercise. Look at the pictures now. Sorry if you're driving. Look at the pictures. Picture number two. What is Jesus doing with a halo around his head? Somebody, tell me. Picture number eight. What is Jesus doing in the agony in the garden with a halo around his head? These pictures are from the 1400s, 1500s, 1600s, 1700s, 1800s. I don't even know who painted half of these pictures. It doesn't matter. Look at the halo. Picture seven. Picture eight. Look at picture number 11. What's that light? What's that light back there? What's it doing? What does light have to do with Christ? Look at the next picture with the light. The light. Look at how the pineal gland is depicted with light. Look at how there's always some glow around a Christian saint. Look at how there's always a halo around some Christian saint. What is a halo doing around the head of Jesus? I'll tell you what that halo is doing there. This is an appropriate week. That halo represents his physical connection to God. It means he's in attunement. It means he's in alignment. It means as he suffers in the agony of the garden, knowing what will happen, knowing he can back out, it means his beacon is pointed to God. It means he's submitting to the will of the Father. And that is why the artists put halos around Christ. Or is this just a coincidence? We were doing it in 500 AD, 600 AD, 700 AD, while we were torturing women, while we were burning heretics at the stake, while we were pulling the eyes out of people because they thought, in a way contrary to the Vatican, contrary to the kings, while we were branding them heretics, burning them at the stake, hind and quartering them. Just think about that. Hind and quarter a good woman. Because she's a witch. Because perhaps she grew up wanting to think for herself. Perhaps she was part of the American woman suffrage movement in 500 or 600 AD. And for her blasphemy or betrayal, we tie a horse around her neck, her arms, and her legs. And we go to that. And we're told that she's about to suffer this crucifixion because she sinned. Think of where we were. But of course, we don't do this today. No, we don't. Well, whether we do or we don't. Why then, when those things occurred, and they occurred, and that is in the historical records, and that is historical fact, why then do we put halos around people? What do those halos mean amidst that agony? I'm giving you a perspective here. Think about that. Think about picture number one. I put this picture, my last show, the show before that. I've done classes on this. What you call the occult, I am not into. I am not into the occult. You see? But I can't help but think that long ago, somebody was giving us a message. Nor do I think these were devils. I think they had something to say. I think ancient people had insights, living in ecosystems with grasses and soils that were far fertile than we will ever know, living in harmony in ways we will never know. I think they had understandings. I think there was a wisdom there. So whether this Horus here is 4,000 BC, 5,000, 6,000, 7,000, 12,000, 20,000, or 50,000 BC, whatever, it's irrelevant. The point is, there is something in the past from the Eye of Horus. There is something in the past to the fact, what, this arbitrary choice to put halos around our saints? There's no connection there. You think there's no connection? Do you know your tribe? Are you still in pain, but are you off your drugs? Were you on 10 drugs, but now you're on 6 drugs? Have you recognized that you got sick or that you suffer because you're super gifted? Because you were born with more, you were given a burden. Are you still angry about that burden? Are you still angry at God because you've suffered, despite the fact that you know underneath it all, objectively speaking, not a fantasy, you just know underneath it all, you are supremely gifted, that you had a large role to play, a large service to enact, to engage in, and yet you spin and you're 50, and your hair is falling out and your teeth are going gray? You're no longer what you were at 20, and it hasn't happened for you. Are you still angry at God because you know underneath it all you had everything and you just messed up? Or can you understand that there's a virtue to your suffering? Are you no longer fatigued in the afternoon? That's important. Is your sexual energy returning? That's important. Are you strong enough now to go off Zoloft or Prozac? That's important. When you take a breath, does your eyesight clear? When you sleep, do you sleep more deeply? All these things are important. If you ever had energy, freedom from pain, joint mobility, a good night's sleep, a functional sexual organ, would you feel indemnified? Would you feel like you were compensated because you got those returns? Is there a beginning, a middle, and an end to your healing? Where is your healing supposed to go? Have you figured that out? Have you figured, now that your life's been on hold for all these years because of your pains, have you figured out what life would feel like? Do you dream about what you do? Can you see beyond the healing? Can you see a life that indemnifies you for your pain? Indemnifies you for your pain. Indemnity. That means you're compensated with dividends. Is it 6 months or a year or 2 years into your healing, as you've spent ample amounts of capital, your savings, your second mortgage on your house, your credit cards, have you taken those risks and gotten to the point where you can see a virtue to your suffering? You can see that something will indemnify your rape, your molestation, your betrayal, your abandonment. You were born and left in a garbage pail and adopted by people who molested you. You're ugly. You wanted to be an actor and you couldn't get a part. You've been betrayed. You had a horrible accident. Whatever it is, can you indemnify your pain? Have you gotten to that point in your healing where you're not focusing on your suffering? The symptom is just a focal point for you to remind yourself how messed up you've been, how betrayed you've been. It's just a way to look at your anger? Can you see a virtue to that suffering? Could your illness and then your healing be your greatest asset and not your greatest tragedy? What is the color of the paint on the bathroom wall in the home you're going to build or live in or inhabit after you heal? What is the color? What does your relationship look like after you heal with your new person or the same one? What's the difference? What's the difference if it's the same one or if it's a new one? If it's the same one, it has to be a new person. And if it's a new one and it's just a repeat of the same person, there's been no healing. What does that person look like? What does that job look like? Where will you be working? What will you be doing? Are you willing to leap so that the net will appear? Can you see the net before you leap? Are you thinking this way? If you're thinking this way, you're going to heal. It's something that emerges over time. Something that comes little by little by little by little by little. Are you listening to your physiology each and every day? And that's what you have to do. You have to take yourself a diary and write down every single day everything that I've asked you to attune yourself to, everything in those 150 shows that asks you to recognize a physiological shift, a psycho-spiritual shift, a structural shift. When you stretch your muscles, can you bring the stretch to your joints? And when you bring the stretch to your joints, can you feel an alignment? Do you feel your sacrum begin to isolate itself? Can you feel the isolations? Is the sacrum isolating from the rib cage? Is the neck isolating from the rib cage? When you contract down low, can you feel greater strength in the pelvic floor? Are your cerebral diaphragms starting to talk to each other? Can you contract through the vaginal canal, the anal sphincter, the prostate? Can you contract through the bladder? Can you make the root contractions, and can you feel them pumping your head? A diary, a notebook, something sacred into which you put each day, each week, each month, each year. Add it up, because there's your healing. It is the agony and the ecstasy. It is the great metaphor. Michelangelo spent 30 years of his life upside down painting the Sistine Chapel. We still talk 500 years later about the Sistine Chapel. It was an admitted ecstasy. It was an admitted agony. The agony and the ecstasy. He would have done it again. The only regret he would have had are the moments he spent doubting his creation. Doubt. Kill doubt. Essentially, your healing is about killing doubt. Because if you kill enough doubt within yourself, you're left with your destiny. And everyone has destiny. Everyone has a different way to make a different contribution. But that's how everyone is joined as one. The comprehensive perspective on your symptom is exactly what I just said. Find your destiny. The cleansing, the stretching, the purging, the twisting, and all the little moments where you're getting those messages are simply the dance. And when the dance hits a crescendo, you have an opening. How many openings have you had in 6 weeks? In the last 6 weeks, name an opening, a moment. Write it down on a sheet of paper. That is the dialogue. Now listen to the world. Listen to shows talking about the healing power of an herb. The magical healing power of a new herb found somewhere in a deep Amazonian crevice that we've brought to you. And in the context of understanding nothing of what I'm stating, we're going to deliver this herb in and create the miracle. we're just going to give you more of those therapies because more is better. Bigger is better. Bigger is more powerful. It may cost more, but you can afford it, so get it all. So let's come in and turn the sacred covenant of healing into a conference between you and the doctor across from the desk and the 50 other doctors that you pay to do the same thing. And we'll all talk about you because we're very interested, because we care deeply. Because the more we talk about you, the more you are exalted. Do you see the insanity of this? We are insane. It's a debauchery of holistic medicine when the power and the glory of a healing is in its simplicity. Listen to your inner intelligence. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health, straighttalk.cc. 714-850-1007. I'm looking for two people that get it. You got to come in at least getting a little of it so that there's something to work with. You have to bring some to get some. You got to bring some to get some. Don't come in asking what you can receive. Come in asking what you can give. Give and you'll receive. That's the concept. Lots to think about. Nice to talk to you. Have a great week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.